In this podcast, Tailwind Tip of the Trail is brought to you by Eliza LaPierre.
Eliza is in her home state. Where are you, Eliza? Because we're bringing in some technology today to bring on this Thanksgiving Day some people from all corners of this country of ours. Where are you, Eliza, exactly?
I am in wintry Williston, Vermont today.
Vermont. Nice. And Scott, your location?
I am out in the boondocks somewhere in Utah shooting some firearms.
Oh, good, Scott. And I'm back here at Trail Runner Nation headquarters in sunny
Studio
California.
G.
Yeah, and so we're recording this Tailwind tip regarding trail safety. Eliza, what kind of trail safety tips do you have for us?
I've always been the type of person that has thought that I'm invincible and nothing can really go wrong on the trail, and I'm just going out for a run. But a few years ago, I did learn that that's not really the best mentality. So just a few tips I have for people, whether they're beginners or pros, is that the number one thing you should do is tell somebody where you're going and when you expect to be home. That way, if something does go wrong, people can at least have a general idea of where you're at. Another thing you should take into consideration, I think, is the time difference it takes to run on trails versus roads. You might run 10 minutes on road and go, 2 miles, where on trail, 2 miles could take you 30 minutes. So definitely take into account the time difference that trails can make. I think my third tip is definitely remember that the weather can shift while you're out there. And also, as you change elevation, you can definitely need an extra layer. So, don't be afraid to tie a layer around your waist or wear a buff that you can pull up over your ears and your head to keep warm if things do change on you. And my final suggestion is if you can, bring a friend. It's always safer if you've got somebody with you, and friends are usually entertaining and they'll listen to you complain. So why not bring somebody with you?
Perfect. I'd like to go back to that first one that you, what you said is about letting people know where you are, because with today's network of social media, texting, group messages, Facebook, all of those things, could you imagine the size of a rescue party that you could put together if you knew where they were, at least the general area, and say, well, I know that this person does like to go this direction primarily. We could really put together quite a rescue party.
I think it's just, an easy thing to do, just to leave a note or to tell somebody, and, it will hopefully minimize the rescue effort if it is in fact needed. So just tell somebody where you're going, even if it's just for a 5-mile run. It never hurts.
How about you, Scott? Do you have anything to add there?
Well, I was just remembering, I think there's an app, and I'm going to have to find it, and we'll post it on the website and maybe Facebook and Twitter it out. I think there's an app you can buy for your phone that you type in where you're going and when you think you'll be back, and it automatically notifies all of your loved ones, whoever you designate, if you're not back by a certain time, and deactivate the timer on the app. Have you ever heard of that?
Are you dreaming that up, Scott?
No, it's an app. I'm going to find it, and I'm going to put it on the website and on Facebook and Twitter. I'm going to find it, and I'm sure there's people that are listening to this screaming, going, oh, yeah, I've used that. It's really cool. You just say, I'm going out for an 8-mile run in, Western States Trail. I should be back by 12 o'clock. And so you set it for, let's say, 12:30 or 1 o'clock. And if you don't check in and deactivate the app, it sends a text or a phone call to the people you designate and says, hey, listen, Don just went out for a run. He's supposed to be back by noon. It's 1 o'clock. You may want to try to find him.
Hey, that's a good tool, and that's an app I could use. So since this is a Tailwind nutrition tip, let's also remember that one of the best things you can do to make sure you return safely is that you're hydrated and that you're carrying the right amount of electrolytes. And Tailwind Nutrition has not only good taste, good flavor, it's not too sweet, it's savory, and it's packed full. It's calories and packed full of the right electrolytes to keep you from hitting that wall or the bonk. Eliza LaPierre, a great Solomon team runner. She has just recently came out here at Western States, finished sixth, top 10 finisher, means she's an automatic, and she's not worried about getting into that lottery because she has an invitation, as top 10s do. Eliza LaPierre, you always have great tips, and we appreciate you coming on and sharing with us.
Thank you, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
And happy Thanksgiving to you. Thanks, Scott,
you
for
too.
Joining us from your compound there in Utah.
And today's podcast is brought to you in part by Audible Books. You can go audiblepodcast.com/TRN, and you can sign up and get a free Audible book download. And today's suggested audiobook is...
Well, I'm going to make today's suggestion, Scott.
Okay, great.
You made the last one, and this one is from a author that we've had on the podcast, Peter Larson.
Two authors.
That is correct. Peter Larson and Bill Katofsky. They both put together Tread Lightly, and it's about footwear and the quest for injury-free running, and that's what we're all after.
What trail runner doesn't want to download this podcast and listen to it while they're running?
How modern runners... Here are some of the things that they address on that.
Okay.
The pros and cons of barefoot running. That's one of the items they talk about, Scott.
Okay.
How modern runners differ from their ancestors. You've got to imagine there are a few differences besides a GPS watch, right?
Shoes.
Possibly. And how have the shoes evolved? They take a hard look at the evolution of shoes. And to me, that's interesting.
We're all shoe geeks, aren't we?
Well, you know, most of my days start with shoes, Scott, and they end taking them off. So I have an intimate relationship with shoes. And as I look at this book, I find it's hard sometimes in my day to sit down and thumb through page after page, even though that would be an activity that I would choose. And what I like about Audible is you can download, plug the book right into your ear and stay productive, either running or doing yard work, whatever you're doing.
Doing the dishes?
You can. So I would say my recommended book for a free download from Audible is Tread Lightly by Peter Larson and Bill Katofsky.
Okay, here's the quiz.
What is the quiz, Scott?
Where do you go to get that free download, Don? Audiblepodcast.com.
Audiblepodcast.com/TRN. TRN. Get yourself a free book, educate yourself, and become and tread lightly.
Moss.
Are we recording?
I'm not nervous. I got this. Let's just do it.
Faith, give me a little 1-2.
1-2.
1-3-4-5-6.
Check.
Ashley, were you expecting a professional podcast?
No, I wasn't. Apparently not. Sorry, guys.
Thanks for joining another edition of Trail Runner Nation. My name's Scott Warp.
I'm Don Freeman.
And this is Sally McCray.
Dang, Sally McCray. That's a good sounding microphone you got going on over there.
Sally, you sound like you're next door.
I almost am.
you're next door to somebody.
About 450 miles away.
So here we sit. We're going to do a little episode called Grab Bag.
Grab Bag?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, we have this Trail Runner Nation paper bag, and each of us have submitted a couple running topics.
So basically what you're telling me is you couldn't think of a topic for the podcast, so we're just basically winging it.
We're essentially winging it, and we've each come in with two topics each with a couple in reserve.
And none of us know what the other's topics is.
And that's the grab baggy-ish of it, yeah.
So okay. It's a scary grab bag.
For some.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, so Sally, put up your fist. We're gonna rock, paper, scissors for who goes first.
Okay.
Yeah, this is completely on your honor since we can't see you.
I've got it right here.
Oh, you can see
it? Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Ready? Kai by Bo.
Kai by Bo. Okay, you lose, Sally.
you didn't even see what I had.
Didn't matter. She doesn't know.
You just wanted to go first.
She can't see you. No, she's first. Sally.
Oh, Sally's first.
Yeah, what do you have, Sally?
Ladies first.
Grabbing your bag. And
give us a topic.
Pull it out and tell us what you have.
Okay. Track workouts that you can do on the trails.
Oh, trail track workouts.
Yes.
All right. So are you going to make the first commentary or are you gonna call on someone and let us try to figure out what to say?
Well, I want to ask you guys, do you guys do run workouts or as trail runners, do you feel like that you kind of have to step away from that and it's just all about the long run and just getting time on your legs all the time. What are your workouts like? Do you ever do workouts?
Well, you know, we just talked to Phil Maffetone, which is going to be the podcast right before
the awesome.
Isn't he the best? Right before we release this one. So just last week, if you take a look at that.
So if you're listening to this one and you haven't listened to Phil, go back.
Yes.
And I ask him this question, as endurance runners, mm-hmm. should we ever run faster than we race? And he said,
guess what he said, Sally?
What did he say?
We're asking you. We're having you guess. That's part of the grab bag.
You asked him, should you ever run faster than your race pace, is what you asked him.
If you're an endurance runner.
In your training, mm-hmm. not like running after a shopping cart that's about going to hit the Lexus.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, what Phil said, if you're an endurance runner, no, there's really no reason to run faster than you race. If you're an endurance runner, if you're in the 50K and up group, and I'm putting words in his mouth, but we were talking about longer runs when you're out there for a long time. He said, you don't have to teach yourself how to run fast. Even people that don't run, that need to go rescue their child that may be going off in a shopping cart, you can figure out how to run fast to get that. So we know how to run fast. What you need to do is train your body to stay out there for a long time and become metabolically efficient at doing that. So that's what he said.
So he's saying that there's never a reason to have any type of run workout where you're doing like mile repeats or anything like that.
Well, I'm really like to speak for Phil Maffetone at this point. Not too healthy.
Yeah, I better be careful.
I'm trying to tread lightly.
Yes.
And
no, that's not Phil.
Oh no, that's Peter Larson.
Yeah, that's Peter Larson.
So anyway, that was his comment. He says, no, you shouldn't have to do that. But do I find benefit in moving my legs a little bit faster than I do on race pace? On race day? Absolutely. I did this morning and enjoyed that part of the workout. And I think it was good for me. Intuitively, it felt good. It's kind of nice to blow out those pipes if there's any, you know, such physiological event like that's happening. And, you know, I think you build strength from it. And I think when you move slower, it feels slower and feels easier. So I think there's a lot of good benefit to spinning your legs faster than just always staying on a slog.
Right. Totally agree. I'd be very interested to chat with him about that.
All right. Well, that we can arrange that.
Yeah. Let's arrange that.
So my question to you, Sally McCray, Coach McCray, is you mentioned a track workout. Now, I am going to have a little revelation here. I have never done a track workout in my entire life. And I know that there's a lot of people out there that are doing track workouts, and God bless them for it. But mm-hmm. For some reason I don't like to be a hamster and run around a track, so I don't do it.
Right.
But I'm intrigued by your statement, a track working on the workout on the trail. What did you mean by that?
Hmm. Yeah. So there's several very common workouts that we would do on a track, like intervals, like short track intervals, let's say like a 12x400 meter workout, or longer track intervals, which I would usually recommend for like marathoners, maybe like mile repeats or 6x1,000 meters or something like that. But you can take if you want to go off of the track, you can find, let's say that you want to do a short track interval. You could do them on a moderately hilly trail. You can do a fartlek run with a bunch of short bursts, so a bunch of 45 to 90 second bursts of hard running using, you know, the natural terrain to guide you. And I think that short bursts of running like that, 45, 90 seconds, it's a really great way to practice your form, you know, focus on maintaining good form while you fatigue, the same way you would during a track workout. You know, it's not as important to be as fast as it is to be powerful and fluid. So, if you're getting out on the trails and you're able to practice your form, you know, and it's kind of fun too. I mean, if you're used to just going out on a run and just keeping the same pace for the entire time and you're never changing it up, sometimes it can add a little bit of spice to your workout. And I think it's good to get the legs pedaling too. You know, there's great benefit to, you know, doing strides, especially after, you know, you've done like a, maybe like a 20 or 30 mile run, the next day going out for an easy run on the trails, and then maybe throwing in a few strides, a few 100 meter strides are great for fleshing out your legs. And again, focusing on your form. So that's one way, you know, instead of doing like the track intervals, you can go out on the trail and you can do more of just like a fartlek type run. So you see a tree, okay, we're going to stride it out to that tree. We're going to sprint up the hill. We're going to, you know, power down this hill and just make it, keep it like 45 to 90 seconds and then keep on running. So that's one of them.
I think there's a benefit to raising the heart rate up, mm-hmm. and teaching the body how to recapture back into the zone where you need to be. You know, you're in a typical race or just a long trail run, you're going to be climbing some hills and your heart rate's naturally going to elevate. Mm-hmm. And you need to practice what you're going to be doing.
Right.
And sometimes your heart rate goes up to whatever, you know, one, let's just take a number, you know, 160.
210.
210, whatever your number is. and then it's going to bring it back down to where you should be in your zone. So I think it's important to practice what's actually going to happen. And then if your heart rate's going to fluctuate, then get out there and fluctuate it so it becomes good at recovery. I don't know if there's anything to it. But here's what I think. I think a lot of this stuff is intuitive that we do, and we just kind of talk about it and go, yeah, I do that, or I feel that, or that's been passed on to me over, you know, from a few different people. There's something to intuition, mm-hmm. and it's just not all peer-reviewed scientific journals and you know, biochemistry and physiologists, you know, putting things together. I think a lot of this stuff, if it feels like it's right, there's probably a good chance it's closer to right. We just haven't figured out how to prove it yet and justify it.
You know, I think in our interview with Anton Kropitschka, he kind of prescribes to that philosophy that, you know, if you run a lot, you're going to learn how to run well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just intuitively.
Yeah.
So we're talking for Phil Maffetone and Anton so far. Yeah. In the first thing we've pulled out of the bag. Nice. Yeah. Anything to add to that, Scott? You pretty good with that? Do you have anything else, Sally, on that?
As far as another workout?
No. I'm just saying are you
on
happy
that,
with...
On that topic.
Did we exhaust that strip of paper that you've pulled out of that grab bag?
I think so. I mean, I have several other... Actually, I have one more workout that you could do. Could go on that just for developing muscular explosiveness.
All right.
And it's a sort of plyometric type workout. But basically, you just find like a steep technical trail and you attack, you know, the short, steep uphill, you know, bounding over roots and rocks. And then where it's safe, you know, fly downhill. And then you take a full jog recovery between those sections. And again, you keep them short, but that's a great way to strengthen your legs. Also helps you to get really comfortable attacking, you know, technical trails, which a lot of people are not. You know, they see a single track technical trail and, you know, they get a little timid, or they slow down a lot, or they just see it and like, oh, that's going to be so hard. So if you have set workouts where you know that that's what you're going to be doing is, okay, I'm going to be attack, even if it's the same trail, you're tackling it up and then you're tackling it on the way down, you know, repeating that and then making sure that you have full and complete recovery. So that even means if you're walking, you know, attack the uphill and then maybe take a minute or two if you need to take that long to rest, get the heart rate down, and then hit it again. But it's a great way to strengthen your legs, which every runner can benefit from, and to get comfortable on the uphill and the downhill. So again, kind of going away from just the slow slog every single time. I do want to sandwich that, though, by saying that a good typical training session should have 3 workouts a week, and everything around that should be an aerobic base, pretty much slow jog, mm-hmm. because it's in those runs that's where you're going to build a lot of time. That's where you're building a really good aerobic base, but you're also recovering so that when you hit one of these workouts again, you can do the workout well. So it isn't doing this every single time you go out, but maybe putting it in, you know, a couple days a week and just really fine tuning your speed, your strength, and your form.
So if you're doing these fast fartleks or, mm-hmm. or you know, like you were saying, bounding up a hill,
mm-hmm.
and you're raising your heart rate up to 180 or whatever, you're redlining your heart rate.
Yeah.
Is it better to bring that heart rate down very quick by coming to, you know, by actually going into a walk and lowering it down faster? Or is it better to get into like a nice, easy run and slowly bring your heart rate down?
Yeah, you know,
is there a benefit to one versus the other?
Yeah, I think that you should typically try and train in the same way that you would be running a race too. So if I'm in a race and I'm bounding up a hill, every time I bound up a hill, I don't necessarily want to come to a complete stop and walk. But I do think that you should work at getting into such an effort where it's a solid effort. This isn't, you know, on an RPE of 1 to 10, should not ever be a 10. And I would say stride as opposed to sprinting, you know, getting up to a level 6 as opposed to a 10 on that sprint. But after that, if you absolutely need to walk, let's say the effort was, you know, through the roof, walk for 10 seconds and continue jogging. But I think you'll get greater benefit by a slow, easy jog, to get that heart rate down.
So from a strategic point of view, mm-hmm. during a race, and I'm going to throw this both at you, Sally, and at you, Don, which do you think strategically is better to do? If it's a hilly course and you mm-hmm. have some uphills and downhills, strategically, would you feel it'd be best to run and really work the uphill
uh-huh.
and then recover on the downhill, or take the uphill fairly easy and then bomb the downhill?
Okay, that's a great question. I actually just did, I was trying to prove a point to one of my athletes a couple months ago. It was right before he went into a race, which he did really well in. And I was trying to go over with him, you know, different heart rate training and stuff like that. And I said, you know, I know that you want to run fast all the time. And, you know, we're going to this race. I know that you want to run fast in the ups and the downs, but we're going to do an experiment. And I put him through one of these hill bounding workouts. It's not hill repeats, it's bounding. So it's actually the slower that you go, it's bounding straight up. So the slower you go, the more benefit that you're getting. So we did some bounding. Then I said, now after we bound, you know, I'm going to time you. And it was just like 100 yards. He would go up and then go back down and bound up. And then the last few times I was like, all right, I want you to keep like an aerobic pace, and I want you to pretty much jog up the hill. So he jogged up the hill. I timed him. Okay. I said, all right, this is how long that took you to jog up the hill. The second time he went back down, I said, I want you to have a really good effort. So you're going to like jog, but then I want you to like all out hard up the second half. So he jogged, and then he broke into like a sprint, got to the top, and he's dying. And I said, now I want you to realize that you were only a few seconds faster than when you were able to keep like your heart rate down and aerobic pace and get up to the hill easy, where he was at the top of the hill. He then had to run 100 yards out, and he was fine. He was then able to come back and do, you know, the repeat over again. So I said, in a big race, and the longer the distance, this is really going to make even more of a difference. So if it's a 50K, a 50 mile or a 100 miler, you know, and you are going all out, and all that you've done is given yourself, you know, 5 extra seconds because you sprinted, but now you're completely dead at the top. You're depleted. You know that it's smarter then to either power walk, you know, become a strong power walker, or if you are comfortable running up and you're able to keep it at that aerobic pace, then do that. But don't ever feel like when you hit that steepness, that hill, that you should be sprinting up it. So that's my take on it. But it was a really good tangible way for him to see like, oh yeah, like I don't need to be all hardcore, super fast on the way up if, you know, all it is saving me a few seconds and I'm dead at the top.
That's my opinion too. I'm glad that you were able to do that experiment with him and let someone see the seconds, because mm-hmm. you know, my experience being out on the trail is keep it even, keep it, you know, you're going up, you're flat land, you're down stuff. This was all taught by Dana Gard, who's a runner out here, that said just keep your your workload constant. And mm-hmm. certainly hills are going to be harder than downhills. We know that just by the nature of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
But there, you know, you want to try to keep your work level just about, you know, where you're comfortable. Your heart rate zone should be fairly consistent. And I know it goes up higher on those hills, but absolutely. You start reaching into and getting lactic acid threshold in some of those areas, mm-hmm. forget it. It's hard to catch up. And,
yeah.
and if you're going to be out there for, you know, 4 hours plus, 8 hours in some of these instances, 16 hours, you cannot reach deep into those anaerobic places, because you mm-hmm. just won't last. It's just not yeah. possible for a lot of us.
Yeah, the energy systems aren't there mm-hmm. for that. But also, I think just as it comes down to, if you have a training plan as a whole and you're doing phased training, I mean, if you're starting off in initial conditioning and then you go into aerobic training, I mean, you're not going to have a ton of these workouts anyway. And most of the fast workouts, the track workouts and stuff like that, those come in just the last few weeks,
I was talking more on race day, Sally, than individual workouts of some kind. That was where my reference point was.
Oh, okay.
So that's grab bag number one. Heck, we're going to have enough time for like a 1.5 grab bags here. But that's good. That's what this is about. We can go grab bag volume two episode.
We're ultra talkers.
So,
yes.
Scott Warr, I think you drew the next stick, didn't you?
Oh, did I?
The next
stick. Okay.
Yeah. I can't wait to hear this, Scott.
I am putting my hand in the bucket.
Yeah, it's very believable.
Strength training.
Strength training.
How important is strength training for endurance runners?
You going to follow up with the comment or call on somebody?
Well, I was just reading an article the other day, mm-hmm. and who was it by? Dang it, I didn't give him credit. He was saying that as we get older, strength training is more important
yeah.
for us as endurance runners. When we're in our 20s and 30s, it's not as important. But as we start getting older, that strength training becomes more and more important for endurance runners.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I bring this up is I need to recommit to getting into the gym and doing some strength training. So I want to know, from your standpoint, what do you guys think about strength training? I know when I'm in the gym and doing like leg workouts and core workouts, my training goes much better.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier.
Mm-hmm.
Who's up, Sally? You or I? Because I'm.
Go ahead, Don, and I'll.
I'm waiting for Don, because Don is a strength training guru.
Well, I used to be back in the day, you know.
Oh yeah.
You still are.
You
probably still don't train as much.
Here's what I think. I think it really depends on a lot of your workouts already. You know, Sally.
Don, are you a CrossFitter? You are.
No. I live with one though. My wife is a CrossFitter,
and a good one.
And I'm afraid to even show up at this point because. I don't know what she might do to me, and occasionally I reach over there and touch her on the leg or her shoulder, and she's like a statue woman. She is so strong.
That's a wonderful thing, though.
So I think a lot of it depends on the type of workouts you're doing already. So plyometrics, you're talking about of bounding and jumping and ground-based explosive exercises. You don't necessarily need to be under a squat rack and doing these types of things.
And Dr. Cucuzella has mentioned this a number of times. Well, you know, he has like some kettlebell. What do you call them? Kettlebells?
Kettlebells.
Kettlebells.
Say it like you own it, Scott.
I don't know what they are, but he has them in his kitchen. And he says he is cooking his kids eggs and in between, you know, stirring the eggs up in the frying pan, he's doing reps. So you don't have to be going to the gym necessarily.
So, and I think it depends on your trails that you're on. You know, you go out into the canyons out here on part of the Western States Trail, and you're going to climb for, you know, 2 miles straight up. There's some, that's some strength training right there.
Absolutely.
So I think a lot of it depends where you're at.
Sally, I know you're a big gym rat. What do you think about strength training?
First of all, I actually am not a gym rat.
Oh, okay.
But I do have a gym pass.
Oh, wait, hold on. Let's define gym rat.
Yeah.
Because, Scott, you accused her and then you denied it. So I want to hear from both of you. What is a gym rat, Scott?
I think a gym rat is someone that is at the gym every day.
And that's all it takes. You're at the gym every day, you're a gym rat. All right.
Yeah. Sally is not at the gym every day.
Okay.
Do you have
a definition? You're a card-carrying gym member.
Yes, I might go maybe 3 or 4 times a month.
Mm-hmm. So what's your definition of a gym rat, Sally?
What Scott said, pretty much someone that is, I mean, let's just define rat.
So, now I've got a definition of a gym rat because I've been around a gym long enough back when, you were
a gym rat.
When rats were young. I was when they were a new species, that's when I was there. And a gym rat is a guy, maybe a gal, that no matter what time you go, you're there in the morning, maybe you hit a workout at noon.
You see them there?
They're there.
They're lurking with their big old bag.
Right. And they may not even be doing a workout. You know,
most of the time they're just walking around talking.
They're just talking to people. And
in black and white striped spandex.
your rats are wearing spandex. A lot of mine are wearing oversized sweatshirts because they really talk a good game, but they don't have game. And so, and they know exactly which mirror to stand in front of to give them the best view and where the light is. There's your gym rat.
So let's tweak
this. And they don't have
then.
Jobs what? Because they can't have jobs or they couldn't be there all day.
And this is me as a gym rat.
So how much, when we talk strength training, I mean, we can all agree that we don't need to be there every day. Yeah. How much, Sally, you say that you go 3-4 times a month. Mm-hmm. Is that enough? Now, you're a lot younger than Don and myself, so maybe you're in that area where you don't need to be in there that much. How much is enough strength training for distance runners, ultra runners?
Well, I first need to clarify. As a trainer, I have a lot of equipment at my house. So part of it is just I find that being more efficient with my time is doing my workouts here at my house, or if I can... You know, if I'm out on the trails and I'll do something there. So I don't live at the gym, but I do believe in doing strength training a couple times a week. And I think that no matter how old you are, I mean, you can never stop building muscle. I think that's an awesome, awesome thing. And I think that if you have a stronger base, a stronger body to work with, and you're taking something that's strong and you're wanting it to endure as an endurance runner to go far, you're going to be a better runner. Now, if you want to talk about how much weight and what types of exercises and, you know, I think that's a different topic. That's a different conversation. But if just someone is just going to ask generally, should I be strength training as a runner? I say, yes, you should. Should always be looking to strengthen your body. And Don, I want to ask you, because you deal with patients daily, and I would say that physical therapists, you know, they deal with a lot of athletes as well. How often is it that you're dealing with a patient and many times the injury is a result of a weakness, you know, or lack of mobility or something like that. And so it's then, okay, we need to strengthen this. We need to get, you know, the muscles stronger that surround this joint. Or so I think that if that's part of your routine, then you're just going to be better. So I'm all for it.
Yeah. So to answer that, I would say, you know, 100% of the time, you know, you say injuries happen when tissues fail, and mm-hmm. tissues generally fail when they've been overloaded. And if you can strengthen that up, then you're going to be in a lot better shape, modifying some of your activities. With the exception of, you know, falling and tripping or something landing on you, I mean, that can't be avoided regardless of how much core strength you have or tendon strength. But a lot of these things that we do to ourselves as runners, we can avoid it with just seeing the problem come and making some adjustments along the way. So, yeah, to your point, strength train is good.
Yes.
All right, and core being a real big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're working legs.
I've seen some good core workout videos that Sally has on her.
Link that one where she talks about all of this gear in her house. It happens to be a ball and a mat.
That's one.
Yeah, but I'm afraid of that one.
That's all you need.
If I could do that, I'm done.
Okay, Don, I think it's your turn to grab in the bag.
All right. Here's mine. You ready?
Yes.
Wait, let me get in my bag. Races are getting harder and harder to get into.
Yes.
You know, we talk, I mean, obviously Western states has been, is right around here now. More and more people than ever are going this year just because.
Almost 2,800 people signed up for the lottery this year.
Did you check that as a recent number? Okay, well, that's pretty close to last year. It's not too far.
Just under 2,800.
It's not too far from last year, right? So, I mean, like everybody's trying to get in. It was only a few years back that when I didn't get into states, I said, oh, what am I going to do? I'll go home. I will print out the Angeles Crest application. I will lick it and put it on the counter. And Monday, I will send it in, right? And that was after the drawing. I went to Angeles Crest last night, and it's already full for 2014. Sorry.
Yes. It filled up within, I think, 48 hours, maybe.
What's
not even.
What is up with that?
I
attribute that to, you know, all this social media stuff about informing people of what races are, you know, good to go out there and challenge yourself against. So we've done it to ourselves somewhat.
I agree. Right? Yes.
So what's the answer? Do we need to increase the number of people running these races, or do we need to increase the number of races?
Well, I think there's a lot of races out there already. If you go to run100s.com, thank you, Stan Jensen, and take a look at the 116 100-mile races in North America, there's plenty to choose from, and there's probably great races, all with challenges that are distinct to each race that are worthy of telling stories for years and years. And so I think all of these races are worthy of our entrance and attention. But I think a lot of these, the original ones, like AC and States and Old Dominion and all the ones that were first on the
Wasatch,
map.
Leadville.
Yeah, these are the ones that people kind of gravitate towards. It's time for us to explore the other races.
You know, the reason why I bring that up is I can't remember who I was talking to. I guess Leadville increased the number of people, like doubled the number of people that could run last year or this year.
Oh, Leadville.
and I heard that it was kind of
crowded.
A nightmare.
A nightmare. I was gonna say something nicer than
it's okay,
nightmare,
you can
but
say
I heard
it.
I heard it was a nightmare from a logistics, you know, crew trying to get to certain spots. I heard that they ran out of water and food at some of the aid stations because, you know, some of those aid stations, they have to like pack it in on llamas. And you know, I think that there was questions in some people's mind that maybe that was too many for Leadville. Mm-hmm. So anyway, just throwing out there food for thought.
There's no really requirements for Leadville. I mean, I think pretty much anyone can sign up for the race.
I think it's important that races are capped. I think it's good that it keeps the atmosphere of, the trails open and gives all competitors a chance to run their own race and not get in the conga line of conga lines and never get out and waiting in line to refill a bottle. I like how you move through efficiently, and I know you can get more volunteers in places, but some of these places for crewing and stuff, you just can't get people in and out efficiently, and that's one of the biggest pieces is just the, you know, for every runner, you have like three or four people sometimes following them down the trail.
Right.
So, I don't think expanding the population or number of entrants is a good thing. I say stay where it runs efficient and where, right where it's at in a lot of these cases.
Agreed.
Okay, Sally, you're up.
Okay.
I got a part two to my piece, and I know.
Yeah.
You
have part two.
There's no real official rules to grab bags, Scott.
I was going to say, come on, man.
But I like your questions, Scott. I mean, I like your topic.
So it's Don's topic there, Sally.
Oh, that was your topic, Don?
Yeah, I didn't steal from him.
I thought that was Scott.
No, my topic was the better topic.
His was about strength training.
Yeah, Don's was silly.
I need credit when I can get credit. Okay, and so this really is back to one of your podcasts that you were on, Sally, is adventure running.
Yes.
And I think with as tough as it is to get in some of these races, because this was kind of came to me last night as I went on to Western States. I knew I was late for that. And I was kind of secretly maybe wanted to be late for it. And so I went on to Angeles Crest, and man, that's filled up. And I went, well, you know, I've always kind of wanted to go to Cascade because I've heard that's a great race, you know. And so I checked that out, and it says, oh, we have a lottery. You can send your stuff in. Our lottery is February 1st or something, opens up 2014. I'm thinking, holy Toledo, I don't get to make the choice anymore. People are making choices for me on this 100-mile stuff. And then it made me think, you know what? This adventure running stuff, why do we have to hang bibs on ourselves?
Or fastest known time?
Because all of it kind of inspires me that when we talk about Trail Runner Nation, it's just, we didn't say race runner nation. We said trail runner nation. And so that could be just not only your training runs, but you could just invent stuff on your own. And you can use some of the same courses that you wish you could get in on and go run those and get a group and be organized, a lot like you did, Sally, with your Nolan's 14, but your, right. I just wanted to say
with
that.
With my crew.
Yeah, with yes. your crew, your 8,000.
The SoCal Endurance crew
yeah.
team. Something name. I don't know yeah. what we're calling ourselves.
what did you guys call that?
The 8,000 feet and that,
well, we called it the SoCal Triple Crown when we did the 8,000 meter challenge. The 8,000 meter challenge is a known challenge.
Yeah.
But they recently, I wasn't able to join with them on their most recent one. And in fact, Ethan Newberry made an awesome video on it. They did the Cactus to Clouds run. Have you guys heard of that one?
Oh, yeah.
One of the
yeah.
toughest hikes, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Well, they say it. It's either in California or maybe even in the nation, I guess.
It starts in Palm Springs and goes up Mount San Jacinto, right? Is that how you say
yeah,
that?
Yeah, Mount San Jacinto is the peak.
And there's a sign that you start off and says, you know, people die here. Make sure you carry a gallon and a half of water. Make sure you have a space blanket. Make sure that you, you know, have an angel that flies by you to make sure that nothing happens to you. And all these things are prerequisites. And then it says, if you don't, you could just die.
Yeah.
Is that why they call it Cactus to Clouds? Is because you're going to heaven?
Yeah, maybe.
Well, you start that low. I mean, you start right there in the desert and then you climb up that high. I mean, the climbing is gnarly. I think you climb 10,000 feet within, or maybe it's more than that. It's 10,000 feet within, I don't know.
A
like
short period
15
of time.
Yeah, 15 miles or something like that. But they just did it. And same thing. I mean, they planned it out. They got the crew together. And they had an awesome day out there. And, you know, so Don, I think that is the key. You know, not everyone has that ability to gather up a crew. Maybe they just don't know a lot of runners, people to do that, and they want to. And I think that is maybe the one benefit of, you know, the social media and connecting with other people. We've seen it with us. People are like, hey, can we join in and go on the next run with you? Or, you know, tell us where those trails are, or I want to get some buddies and do that too. And so that's kind of the beauty of the trail community, whether you're racing or you're going on some epic training run. You know, we all kind of stay connected and we can share that too. But, it's finding a good group. You can't get into a race, but you can have a good group and head out and have an adventure. I love that.
I'm about to go with Warren Pohl and do rim to rim to rim. And
yes.
I'm as excited about that as, you know, strapping on any race bib. It's an unknown for me. Mm-hmm. I know that it's going to be physically and mentally challenging, and that's what I sign up for races for. And, you know, I'm just anxious for it, and it's going to be fun. I might even buy myself a shirt or a belt buckle when I'm done. I don't know.
I'm sure they have like some kind of Grand Canyon belt buckle you can
think?
Buy.
Yeah. Okay. We'll check into that. But so I just put that out there as you know, an option. You know, that not to be discouraged. There's a lot of cool things to do on the trail out there. So there's my grab bag part one and two. And I didn't know if you knew it. There's only one person in the grab bag, you know, scenario that gets two questions. And I used it up first. So sorry, guys.
No, Sally got part two. She had part two.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then you have one. We'll change the rules.
I'm the only one that's adhering to the initial rules.
Well,
yes.
we each get a one part one and part two. Sally, you and I have used our turns up at part
yes,
one and
we
two.
Have.
Scott retains his.
All right, Sally, your time to grab in the bag.
Oh, I thought Scott, you were going to go.
Well, he did strength training.
Okay.
No, you were first. We've done me and we've done Don, so you're next.
Okay. Let's see. This one I'm going to reach way deep into the bag.
Ooh. Did you have that one taped to the side?
And let's see here. I want something.
You're really grabbing,
yeah,
aren't you?
Yeah, I am really
She's
grabbing.
She's fishing around. Is that little folded up one in the corner?
Do you need some time? I can throw one out there if you
need
some time.
Yeah, go ahead and throw one out.
Okay. We're coming into the holiday season.
Holiday season. Which holiday are we talking about, Scott? Because somebody could download this at any time.
You know, whatever holiday you is coming up. So if you're listening to this in right. January,
yeah. Okay, Thanksgiving's coming up.
Yeah, Thanksgiving's coming up right now. But if you're listening to this in January, what comes up after January? Like Valentine's Day?
Valentine's Day.
Okay, so the gift season is coming up. What is a great gift that you can give your running friend?
Ooh, oh, that's a good one, Scott. I'm going to vote for you best question of the night.
And yes. I'm going to throw out what
you want.
Yeah, what I want. So get your pen
and your
out,
address,
Don.
Right?
Yeah. No. I will tell you one of the best gifts I got was from Don Freeman.
All right.
Years and years ago, even before we started running together. I had barely started running.
A scale?
Yeah. I was just going to say, you weren't a runner,
ouch.
But...
I'm just
ouch.
Kidding. Kidding, pal.
A dose of humility, maybe?
No.
No. He gave me a picture of... Never mind. Anyway, what he did was, this was really cool. It was very affordable. I don't know if you remember.
I know
this.
Exactly what it is, Scott. You want me to write it down? I'm going to write it down, and I'm going to tell you, and you
okay.
can read it off whether I was right or
not. Underneath your microphone.
Do I have a pen here? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm writing it down.
Write it down, because do you think you know what it is?
I know what it is.
Because this was a great gift. I think that everybody out there should do this for their running partner.
It's written down. I'm going to show it, because we have Sally online, so she can see this. You can't look at it, Scott. Do you see that,
okay.
Sally? Okay.
And it's wrong.
It's wrong?
It is. You're close.
Okay.
What it was a 20 ounce bottle, which is what you wrote.
Okay.
But it was full of different items. Like, it had some goo.
Oh, that's
some
cool.
Goo. It had some electrolyte caps. It had some...
it was like a grab bag, but in a bottle.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it had some chomps in there. It had just some different, unique kind of energy gels and that sort of stuff. And I thought that was really cool. It was all in a little 20-ounce bottle.
You washed the bottle, didn't you, Scott? I wanted you to throw that stuff away. That was extra stuff from my
from a race.
Dad, from
that
stuff.
Was his drop bag.
Is that something
you didn't
that was
have
in
one?
The back of your Jeep that you just said, I should give Scott some. Oh, here's this bottle.
No, I that was from my heart, Scott. That was all me just trying to welcome you to the tribe.
So I think that's a great gift. So Sally, what do you think a good gift for a running friend would be?
Well, I don't know if I could trump Don's. I mean, that was like before Pinterest, and that's like Pinterest worthy.
You know what? We could start a TRN Pinterest account, shouldn't
you
we?
You should.
I don't
think
even know
quite
what
a few people would follow
would
your boards.
We will never do Pinterest.
You must.
Yeah. Mark my word. We will never do Pinterest.
Sally, if you would like to take that task on and be the Pinterest queen and tribal leader, you may.
Hey, there's a lot of good things in there. We could have a gear board with all of our favorite gear. We could have like homemade energy bar recipes.
Okay, you're on it.
Come on,
people. You're now dubbed TRN Pinterest administrator. Okay,
right.
So I want to know what kind of gift you've ever given or have received or thought about giving.
You know what? Just recently... a friend gave me these really cool things. I wish I could go grab them and show you. I guess that wouldn't be really beneficial to the audience, but Ampifod makes them. They are a magnetic, it's like a magnetic tab that has like a bike light or just like a little red light that flickers. You just press a button and it flickers, but you can attach them like anywhere. She gave me two of them, and you can put them on, you know, your shorts, your hat, you know, your pack. And they're just good for night running. Like if you run on the roads, it's that additional, you know, aside from reflectors, this kind of just makes people aware, this little red light that flashes, but it's super easy to put on. They're super easy to store. Have you guys seen those before?
No. It's a magnet. So you put it one side on the outside, the
yes.
magnet on the inside of your shirt.
Ugh. Yeah, okay. The magnet's in there, and then, you know, you just flip the tab over, and it connects through your clothes or your gear or whatever. So they're great, because I, you know, a lot of times I can't get my runs until the, you know, till night, and it's getting dark now at 5. So I throw those on, and they're good to have when you're road running. There's something, too, I think, about a red flickering light when you're driving that kind of sticks out a little bit more to just, like, a headlamp. Or, you know what I mean? It kind of catches your eye. So I like them.
Sally, find out what the brand is, and we'll link it's that Amphipod. To the podcast description.
Oh, okay.
What is it?
It's Amphipod.
Oh, Amphipod.
Oh, okay. My gosh. Yeah, there we go.
There's nothing that says I care like a flashing red light.
It means that you want them to come back alive.
Good,
yes.
Good.
How about you, Don?
Question being?
Gear. What? Gift. Gear. I mean, what kind of a running gift?
I think just a year subscription to TRN Podcast would be appropriate for any runner. I mean, think of the hours of listening pleasure.
The price is right.
The price is right, and the statement of...
I have a great one.
What's that, Scott?
A copy of one of Phil Maffetone's books.
Well, there's all kinds of knowledge in there.
Yeah, that would be a great one to give. And they're on Amazon for like $15.
They're priced right.
Yeah, that's
Jay Dashari's book is really good too.
Yeah, we've got
that's
that.
Right. We have that one.
In fact, you know, all the guests that we've had on that have books have been vetted. We've looked at them, we've researched those books, and we think they're good stuff. All right, so that was a good question, Scott.
That's my question.
Is there a part B to it?
No, there's not.
I'm
holding to the rules.
He still has that on us. All right, who's next?
Sally, we're
I'm
coming
next.
Back. Do you have
yes.
one yet?
So, so my question to you guys is.
She doesn't have anything.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready, Sally. If you need just a bit more time to unfold that tightly folded piece of paper.
Yeah, you know what, Don? Go ahead, shoot.
All right.
I want something great. I need to like trump you guys. So I'm thinking of like the best question.
Well, you know. Here's the risk of letting me go first. I'm about to unleash the best one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so it's going to be hard to trump. You might want to go now, Sally.
Go ahead. Try me.
All right.
Me.
So here we go. Hey,
we may run out of time. Sally may get an out.
Hey, I was just watching one of the many ultra running videos, you know, from races and different things. And they showed great pictures of the course and the great beauty that we get to see running. Some river, some trees, some trail, and they all make you want to run. And they showed the winner of the race coming through and collecting all the accolades of being the fastest person on the trail. And they cut to some mid-packers, which, you know, look like people we run around all the time and run with. And then they bring in some of the very last finishers, which look like us too in many of the cases and many times. But the emotion of the crowd and the people and the elation on the face of the runner accomplishing what appears to be the unaccomplishable, if that could be a word, it's so many syllables, Scott. You almost have to slur a little bit.
Yeah.
In my dictionary, it is.
It's illegal to have more than 8 syllables in a single word. And so, but when you see the expression on their faces, it just brings joy to a viewer just on an internet screen. And that's just, go ahead, Scott.
I am dying to tell a story.
Tell away.
Of something that's related to that.
All right.
Don and I just helped pace our web ninja, Tim Smith, at his first 100. And I paced him for the first section of the last part of the race. And then Don picked him up at like 2 a.m. and finished with him. And then Don... continued after that and did some announcing for the remaining runners that were out on the course. And I did not know this, but Tim related this to me, that there was one runner that was still out there that looked like was not going to make it by the cutoff time.
The 30-hour cutoff time.
And Don, in his generosity and wisdom, got on the PA and said, listen, we have a runner out there that's not going to make it by the 30-hour time cutoff. We're looking for volunteers to give some of their time. Wow. And
the finishers that had a little extra time to give.
I love that.
Because we needed another 15 minutes.
So the guy who won actually ended up giving
4 minutes.
4 minutes, because that kept him under his 17-hour time frame. But he gave 4 minutes, so she had now 4 extra minutes, 30 hours and 40 minutes. I mean, 4 minutes. And there were a bunch of other runners that gave some of their time to allow her to get in and finish that race. And I thought that was the coolest thing
that
in the whole
world.
That
is so cool. I love that idea. Don, you came up with that?
Well, you know, I was
every once
Don,
in a while,
I was desperate.
Seriously?
Well, I've needed extra time myself, and I thought
he was up all night. He was a little loopy.
I've been the guy racing the clock before, and I thought, couldn't some of those fast people just give me a few of their minutes? It was really a selfish thing.
It's brilliant, and it's that's awesome.
Obviously, they didn't really give up any time, but we stayed as a community and rerouted her in, and we you know just had a great time.
And unfortunately, I wasn't there. But what happened was is because everybody was now vested in her finishing because they gave of their time, their minutes. They said that there was probably more of a cheer for that end runner than the first runner.
So picture your first 100 mile you've ever finished, and you think that there's just no finishing this thing, and the crowd and the folks vote to keep the race open for you and bend all the rules the race director may have set, you know, just kind of. So as a result, everybody was cheering, and she comes running through with her daughter, and she was weeping just of joy, and it was just a great, great scene. And
that's what it's about.
That's what ultra running's about, and yeah. Trail community. So a lot of fun, and Tina did a great job.
I love it. That is really awesome.
Boy, I hate to be you now, Sally.
Well,
was
Don, where were you going with your? Where were you going with what you were saying?
Oh, my grab
bag. Before I interrupted you.
Yeah. Oh, well, you were just telling a story.
No, just watching people. My grab bag topic is just how awesome it is to see people accomplish things that somewhere in their mind at some point they said, others have done it, but can I do it? And you can think about your first marathon / 50K, you know, whatever the distance, and the tugs 10K. Of your... 10K, the tugs of your personal heartstrings that are just uncontrollably yanked as you see that finish line. And it's something you could say, I'm not going to get weepy over this. Even in training, you say, I've worked hard for this, but all of a sudden it's there. And even the toughest competitors and the toughest people will feel that emotional piece as they take a look at that finish line and go, that's my finish line. That's for me right now, and it feels good. Mm-hmm. So... That was my statement. I just admire people that do this stuff. That's right. All. I think they're pretty awesome.
So your grab bag was basically just a statement.
No, see.
And
see,
you don't think I can trump that?
No, it wasn't a statement. No, so Sally, the reason here's you're attacking my contribution by not contributing.
Not attacking.
Yeah. So what you're doing is this. You're saying, so that's all you've got? That is what you brought. You just brought this kind of this general blanket statement. You're able to talk about this other stuff for 10 and 15 minutes at a pop, but that's what you've got? Okay, so that's a good tactic. So you
that's
better come
what you
strong.
Got, Don? Something sentimental and heartfelt? Seriously?
You better come strong with this, Sally McCray.
Yeah, come on. Pressure's on, Sally. What do you got in that bag?
Well, I just wanted to know about your feet, about
that's
your toenails.
It? Feet?
Yeah, it is. Okay, so right. I have this thing with, okay, so like my feet don't look like I run ever. I don't get like the crazy blisters and black toenails and all that stuff.
Wow. You're
right.
Lucky.
But so is that good?
Is that from a good pedicurist?
No, I do not have time. I don't ever do the what, yeah, I don't go to the and get pedicures and all that stuff. Take care of my feet though.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
So when you're hanging out with the ultra runners, maybe, you know, pre-race day and everybody's getting together, and do you feel like maybe you feel like you're a little bit out of place? You want some calluses? You want a bunion? you want a black toenail? What is it?
Right. Right. I want my feet to look like Frodo's feet, like more than anything.
Maybe it's a race strategy where they look at her feet and they go, oh, well, she's not going to run.
She's a softie.
And then she kicks their butt.
You know what?
Why is that? Do you have feet problem when you're out there? Do you get blisters or anything when you're out?
I don't.
Wow.
I've had in all my 15 years as an endurance runner, I've had one black toenail.
Huh.
And that was when was Angeles Crest, Dawn, when I had to change my running gait because I ran on a fractured leg the last 27 miles. So
yeah, well, I guess that would do it.
So changing my gait, I'm convinced I was just shoving that nail into my shoe.
Oh, you're tough.
But my question, the real grab bag question, is not have to do with me and me having envy over those kind of feet. When you guys get black toenails, do you rip off those toenails? Because there, I have friends that do, and I just think it's disgusting for one, and makes me want to cringe. But if you do, what are the benefits of ripping off black toenails? And yeah, just tell me your thoughts.
This could get gross.
I know. Isn't it, you know, great?
I will give you my opinion. When it gets to the point where it can be ripped off, I do, because it feels so good to finally get the thing off your foot. Rather than just this thing hanging there, because it's dead. It doesn't feel the same.
Right.
And it actually, I think, speeds up the healing, because now you don't have possibilities of infection, of stuff getting in between that toenail and your toe. So
right.
I would say, I mean, it's not like I sit there at night while I'm watching TV and I pick at my toenail to try to get it pop off. But, you know, eventually, you know, when it can come off, and I usually pull them off.
Now, do you get black toenails often? Do you get blisters and...
We don't want to get into that, Sally.
Come on. People want to know. Don and Scott, what do your feet look like?
People that have listened to this podcast for any length of time know that I have my biggest issue in running is I get gigantic, full-blown heel blisters on the bottom. The whole heel pad blisters up.
Oh, my gosh.
On both feet.
No,
and so
no matter what.
Yep. In a long race, anything over, like, I would say, I've actually had it happen on 50 milers. Both of them will blow up. And so I need to stop at aid stations and drain them and tape them and drain them and tape them, and it hurts.
Wow.
I said, I need to find out how you're running, because I'm envious.
Well, is that after changing shoes several times? I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Why do you think you're getting those?
It's a result of friction and heat. And right. so something, you know, I've tried taping and I have a pretty good method of taping now. With, I use a combination of Kinesio tape and what's that other tape? Lukio tape.
Mm-hmm.
That I do. Don's a good taper, and he's taught me some things to do, and I think that helps, but I have no idea. I'm just a wimp.
Right, and with all the great guests that you have had on here, and you've been doctors that could maybe help you with that, have you ever gotten any advice from them? Because I know some that'll just say it's blisters are only because your shoes do not fit properly. There's people that just, that's it, period.
You know, the one guy that I have been asking and we still have not got on our show from when we first started this podcast.
And it's not his fault.
No, it's ours.
Yeah.
It's completely ours. Is John Vonhoff, who is the author of Fix Your Feet.
Oh, okay.
And I'd love to get him on. In fact, I'd love to go find out where he is and sit down with him for an hour and find out if he could figure my feet out.
And he has said yes, and he's a great volunteer in the community. He's been at Western States.
Yep,
he's at Badwater. I mean, he is just a wealth of
information.
We've
actually contacted him, and he said he would come on. Yeah, we just haven't been able to squeeze it in.
Yeah, we've dropped the foot. We've dropped the slipper.
Don doesn't – you don't get feet issues, do you?
You know, I've talked to Lee McKinley about this. His feet are they do well as well. You know, we all have some strengths and weaknesses, and you know, I've got plenty of weaknesses, and the feet so far have not been one of them. And I've had some blisters on occasion, and I started wearing the Injinji on anything over 50 miles just because it's just one time at 100K, I had some blisters between my toes, and a fellow runner said you should have Injinjis, and I started wearing them and on the long runs like that, and no issues. So I just don't mess with what is working. But feet have been good for me. I am grateful for that. So, but other issues I have, I'm sure. Well, I know. I could tell you on race day what they are.
Yeah.
Hey, Sally, what's going on with you? Because we have a video here, and you just keep getting lower and lower. And all I see right now is a bill of a hat. and just a piece of, there you go. That's how it started out, right there.
Was she slouching?
Yeah, I only saw like this much of her.
My computer is posted up on top of two pillows, so I think it's just sinking in and falling back. And
it was kind of cool though. You were like, you know,
are we talking to Sally in her bedroom?
No, yeah, no, you are.
Is that where you are?
That's the only quiet place in my house right now.
It's working. It's working. All right, Sally. You know, I think that was a good last grab bag. Is that
Thank
the last
you.
One? Scott, did you have one left? I've done two.
I've done two.
So we've all done two.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And we're right on time.
Excellent. We have a time, Scott?
Yeah, we do.
Hey, well, I think grab bag was fun. Let's do grab bag again. I think it's a good topic because it varies. It could be anything.
Well, it's like going on a trail run.
You don't know what you're going to get. You just show up and go?
Yep.
All right. So if you want to find Sally McCrae, Sally, if we wanted to have you as a coach because we like the way you communicate, we think you have some good ideas, and we
like the color yellow.
And yeah. We believe you could make us run faster, where would we find you?
SallyMcCrae.com.
All right.
Scott, that makes sense.
Scott's going to post that on
you
the...
You can find me there. You can also find me, Coach Sally McCrae, on YouTube.
Sally's everywhere.
And Twitter. And Instagram and Facebook.
And now Pinterest.
And now Pinterest.
Already on Pinterest, yes.
Well, your TRN, your Trail Runner Nation Pinterest account.
Yes. Thank you.
And we'd also like to remind people of the wearables order that's coming up for Trail Runner Nation.
By the time this podcast is out, the wearable page will be up. And in fact, it should be coming to an end by the time you hear this. So if you haven't purchased your wearables, get on to trailrunnernation.com. There should be a link there on the first home page to take you to the wearables. There's some really cool stuff. The thing I'm excited about,
what's that?
Are the new buffs.
Yes.
Those are pretty
Yay,
cool.
Yay, I need one.
A TRN buff. Yeah, yes. they are awesome.
And so as a woman...
Yeah.
Sally.
Yeah, are we reaching back into the grab bag right now?
No. We have two different colors. I just want to get your opinion.
Okay.
We have the trail brown.
Tan.
I'm sorry, trail tan.
Khaki.
Oh, whatever. And then we have we like to call ultra pink.
Yeah.
We have an ultra pink buff. If you were to spend money on one, which would you spend money on? A pink or a khaki?
Yeah, I like being girly on the trails. I definitely do the pink.
Okay.
I think you should get green. Green is a great color.
Well, don't say that now. We've already ordered
these. That's like the neutral.
These.
Girl or guys would like that.
Okay. Yeah.
What
For
else
the next
have,
order.
We have some visors, pink visors and white visors.
Yeah.
Visors?
And hats.
Well,
some of us like
head sweats, which we love head sweats. We have some arm sleeves, and we have some really cool colored Patagonia Technical T-shirts.
Awesome. Great brand.
And some arm sleeves.
Yep.
Arm sleeves.
So quite a...
It's our largest offering to date.
And Cocapellis are there as well.
Absolutely.
You can grab some of those.
The tattoos and the window stickers.
And Scott, I want to add about the buffs. It's a chance to, you know, it's an aid station in a sense. And okay. We all support one another. And what we've done is purchased these from Noggin Wraps. They're the manufacturer of these Trail Runner Nation buffs. And what we're going to do as a nation here is donate all of the proceeds, whatever comes in from them. We've bought the buffs, and we're going to give that to Jimmy Dean Freeman and Kate Freeman. And if you've been part of social media and looked at this, Katie went to Iceland and something happened to her ankle as she twisted it, and she's casted and all of these
serious
yeah.
injury, big operation.
And when something like that happens to you, you could use a Succeed tab, a goo, a bottle of water or something, and essentially that's what we're doing. So if you feel like giving back and handing and telling Jimmy thank you for some of the podcasting and contributions he's done, if he's added anything to your races, let's give him a here you go back at you, buy a buff, and we'll send that full amount from the buffs over to the Freeman group, which is awesome. A different Freeman than me. We're just trail brothers. This isn't different mothers. We're sending it down to Jimmy Dean and Katie Freeman because we just think they are awesome. They're great ambassadors of the trail. Mm-hmm. And you know what? they would do it for you.
Yep.
For sure.
And so that's what we're doing for them.
I love it. And we love the Freemans.
Yeah, they're great, and they're great for trail runners. So let's contribute to that and show them that we care. Go to trailrunnernation.com. Go to the store. Go check out the podcast. Make some comments. Go to Twitter at We Are Nation. I'm nailing this, Scott.
You are.
And go to Pinterest at the account set up by our very own Sally McCray.
And if you if you don't find it, don't search too hard because
she may not have done it.
You probably won't find it. But you will find us on Facebook
at
facebook.com.
Now get out there and run.
Mas.